Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 113 of the Van Hemlock Podcast. We are. You can't get rid of us.
One of us has been playing games. He shall now talk.
What? Leaving me in it? I hope you've played some stuff. I'm going to come back to you later. Yeah, frantically checking Steam, aren't you? Look at you.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with Warhammer, which is fantastic fun at the moment. We got, I think we had a full warband this week.
Wow. Yeah, okay, I didn't bother turning up.
It was a bit disappointing in one minor regard. The Hunter's Vale dungeon instance is a six-man trip with very well-crafted and some interesting boss encounters and some great loot at the far end.
And sounds very disappointing.
It's disappointing in that most people in our Monday Zerg over-leveled it. It actually won't let you in if you're level 12 or above.
Well, that's a bit bollocks.
Well, it's a shame, yeah. I mean, I would have thought it would have leveled you down and nerfed your stats, perhaps, but no.
Well, it's not as if the game has that sort of system already in there.
Well, it levels you up to make you the right level for the open RVR, so makes it sort of a bit fair, but no. So, yeah, great many people. I was going to get lots of different groups together and have multiple parties trying it in different chat channels and all the rest of it, but we only managed to get six people together who could still qualify for the place. Which is a shame. It means the chance to get the cloak, which turns you into a stag, is lost forever, unless you come back through as an alt. I think it's bind on pickup or bind on equip or something.
I'm not level 12 yet. I'll grab James on the next alt.
I don't know if anyone in the guild is 11 or less still, but there's always room for more goes at that. But no, most of the rest of us went on to tier 2. We're into new country for me now. I'm not really familiar with what we're looking at here. This is all stuff beyond the free trial. So we were in Ostland, like doing chapter 5 and 6 sort of area. I think it's just chapter 5. We were gallivanting around the forest, murderising everything we came across. Yes, easy public quests are too easy, and so are the normal ones. We did one public quest where you had to kill a whole load of pigs, and then there was a load of boar people, and then there was like a boar hero and a boar champion. Quite a lot of boring, really.
Was it boring?
It was quite boring. I see what you did there.
There sausages?
There was lots of boars, but also it wasn't that challenging, no. So we went across to the Bells of War. Is it the War of Bells? I can't remember.
War's got bells on it.
It had bells on it. Great big bell on a tower. This is the hard public quest of the chapter. I think basically, for what we do on the Mondays, the hard public quest is the one we need to be looking at, because that's the one that stands the best chance of being at all challenging.
Chance for anyone noticing we're doing a public quest.
Yeah, we're all just there chatting away and killing anything nearby, and we seem to have completed a public quest. The hard one, too. Sort of working up the influence. I think it might pay us to skip ahead a few chapters to find somewhere the levels are a bit higher.
So okay.
Basically, somewhere where the correct number of people would have a hard time doing it, because they wouldn't be the right level, would be the right sort of place for an incorrect large number of people.
And then hit it with 25 people.
Yeah, exactly. So basically use the advanced level of it all to be a counterpoint to the vast number of people we're bringing. I think that might be an idea, might be a way to try it. Or I suppose we could just start splitting up into groups, but I think that misses the point of what Warhammer's about somewhat.
We have a point now?
It is about charging around like a crazy thing. Were you there? I don't think you were
there.
No,
I wasn't there.
No, yeah. What was your excuse?
Couldn't be asked.
Excellent. A glowing endorsement for our Monday group.
No, you're
having a bit of burnout at the moment, aren't you?
I'm having massive burnout at the moment.
We'll come back to that. Yeah.
I just couldn't face playing games.
Fair enough. I shan't take it personally then. The real star of the night, though, was the open RVR in Tier 2. We finally got a look at the keep battles, and there were some absolutely manic scenes there. In fact, it turns out we're not that big a Zerg after all, once we found the real main destruction open RVR Zerg of the night, which was zooming around between the three different campaigns, trying to keep hold of keeps and drive out order, or defend against order, or whatever. A lot of very fluid, dynamic action there. Lots of moving about between the three different maps, charging around to each keep in turn. It all gets a bit hairy when the Order Zerg comes and hits us in the face, and suddenly you find yourself in a proper pitched battle, and that was amazing. Just throwing yourself at it with gusto, and there's like dozens of people all over the place, and just manic, yeah. Everyone trying to find out where their role is, what they do in those situations. Tanks to the front, healers stay back, DPS people trying to flank, all that sort of stuff. Ranged DPS people, well, just shooting stuff, really. It's fantastic fun, really immense sense of dynamic.
So how many
life.
Victories?
Hmm?
How many victories?
Well, we did two keeps in the end. Well, we started off just going into the Ostland Raven's Endwood sort of lake there, just to have a wander around and just show people around the area, because this is where we're going to be doing our open RVR for the next 10 levels, so you'll need to get...
2 weeks, then.
Yeah, possibly. Get familiarise yourself with where everything is, where all the battle objectives. You've got the normal banner flags you capture, just like in Tier 1, but also the keeps, which have a significant NPC presence and take multiple groups, well, generally multiple warbands, really, to pin down and conquer or defend. Depends how many enemy are there as well. But even if they're completely unattended, there's some pretty hefty NPC presence at each one as well. And you get to buy the siege engines from the shop.
Ooh.
For a couple of silly small amount of silver. 27 silver buys you one of them catapults, and you deploy it on the pads around the front of each keep, or up on inside the keep if you're defending. Good stuff. Just really sort of hectic. And yeah, we sort of... we were doing the battle objectives and wandering around, and one party of order came by while I was doing the guided tour. I think Teppo was showing everyone around the place as we were going. And yeah, there's a bunch of red names come over the hill, and it's like, oh, hello, 24 destruction, just standing there in the middle when the main Zerg had already moved away and gone on. I think they must have got quite a shock. So we fell on them, and it all turned into... It moved very quickly from a recon trip to a full-on engagement, which was quite cool. We ended up at the... I think to find the first keep battle of the night, we ended up at the Spite's Reach one, which is on the northern half of the Dark Elf, High Elf, open RVR place. And that was where there was a real full-on slamming together of vast numbers of people. Just push, attrition. It's fantastic. I love it. I mean, I don't know if it's quite what everyone was expecting, but there's lots of that to come, I think. So we'll be doing lots more of that, I think. And yeah, working out the chapters on the public quests. I think probably we're going to try and take a bit of a look at the Dwarf and Orc lands next on this next Monday coming, just so that we can get a bit of a good old look at an area we've not really looked at much before. So far we've been just stuck mostly in the Chaos campaign, with a bit of PvP on the Dark Elf side, and no real looks at the Marshes of Madness or Barak Vaar at all. So yeah. I think that might be a good one to go for. I think probably a bit more scenario work as well next week. We didn't really do much of that for the last couple of weeks. So that's the one where you just join a queue and you end up on these specific maps with a set timer. It's a lot more of a timed event, a bit like your battlegrounds in World of Warcraft, that kind of thing. So try and get us all into one of those and have a few goes at those as well, just for a bit of variety. We've got a whole new set of those have opened up at Tier 2 now, so should be new stuff to see. It's all good stuff. Very impressed with the Goblin Laser Squad as well. That's a special mention there.
Goblin Laser Squad.
Goblin Laser Squad, yes. All our Goblin Shamans have this like green beam attack. It's like a beam laser that just sort of sits on and goes bzzz. And Bevis was basically coordinating the back row shamans into all firing at the same target at the same time. It was magnificent. It looked like a Death Star laser charge up. Yeah, it's fantastic. Just lots of good fun, just lots of chaos. We ended up with slight problem with a camping high level sorceress. She was like soloing this hard public quest, and she was like two tiers above or whatever, like level 40 or something, just there farming for bits of equipment. And there we all are trying to actually do it properly. I'm wondering if we're going to see a lot of that on the way up, or whether we just have to shut up and put up with it, or whether we can do something about it. Although I think Zozo did suggest a fantastic technique, which is get one of our lot flagged for RVR and then throw a heal at her. And apparently it will flag her for RVR and then instantly turn her into a chicken. Which may hamper her ability to farm our quest somewhat. Well, the thing with the Bell's quest is you've got to kill a load of people out around the tower.
Yeah.
Which first stage. Stage two is right up at the top of the tower. You've got to fight your way up a big spiral staircase. I love fighting upstairs. Have I mentioned that before? I think I may have mentioned that before.
I hate fighting on stairs.
Fighting upstairs, it's the ultimate in melee heroism. It's fantastic. Age of Conan could teach the world a lot of lessons about
that
fighting
upstairs.
That was
a big staircase.
There's a lot of big staircases in there in my time. Anyway, it's getting sidetracked. You get to the top, you have to kill the bellkeeper and blow up the bell. Or give it a beating or whatever, And then you have to race all the way back down the stairs, back to where you started, to kill the incoming boss for the third stage. And of course, the sorceress was just stood out front. As soon as we'd killed the bell, wallop, gone. So, denying us a go at the old final stage. She was just doing it in one hit, which is a bit unsporting. So we all, it's a good thing of having voice chat, you can coordinate. So the next round of it, I just said, right, okay, everybody stay downstairs. Let's make her run up there. And so we complete stage one. Stage two kicks off, and we all just stood there watching her. And she just stood there watching us. And the public quest failed. Because we were all too stubborn to go up the stop of the thing and do the thing. We're all getting influence for the individual kills, though. And to be honest, I don't think she was there for the chest drop itself. I think she was more after low-level armor pieces from the yard trash. I don't know. I don't care. We moved on. We were rampaging on through the forest. We came across the easy quest for that chapter, which was broken, apparently. There's one where you got set a whole load
still
of trees on fire. I don't know how... What do you mean, still?
How can stuff in that game be
broken? I don't know. Something had gone wrong and there was like it just was uncompletable and stuck. So, and of course, the first stage isn't a timed one, so it won't reset if it gets stuck. So I don't know what the deal was there. But to be honest, 24 people for a 2-3-person quest, and we're all about two levels over as well.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have been much of a challenge, even if it was working. So
overkill much?
A little, yeah. I'm wondering how far we can push this over numbers thing, or whether it will become necessary even for large public quests to start splitting the group up a bit. I'd like not to have to do that if we can possibly avoid it, because that was the whole one of the reasons we picked Warhammer, is because it does support larger groups than your standard six. But we'll see. I wasn't planning on it being quite so popular, to be honest. We've got a lot of interest. We'll make do. We'll find ways to bend the game to our will, I think. So that's all good stuff. I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm looking forward to some of the far-end stuff, particularly the Tier 4 attacking the capital cities and stuff. You see a lot of game-wide announcements going on about that, and nothing we can really do about that at the moment. We can't really help or hinder, or can't really get involved. So
that's just defeatist thinking.
Damn it, content gating. No, sorry, we've got a whole game to get through first, then we'll be up there, and that's basically it for the rest of forever. So let's make the most of the lower levels while we're there still, I think. It's good stuff. Yep. We're still taking new members, to be honest, but it's going to be a little bit tricky. You've got a fair bit of catching up to do now if you want to be level with the main pack, which is about level battle rank 13 or whatever at present, 12s and 13s. It will slow down, so it will become easier to catch us up. But get in touch if you want to do that. We're on Karak Agil, is it? Yeah, the one that isn't Karak Norn. And my name is Van Himlock, with no space. So there you go. Get in touch on a Monday. We play 8 p.m. UK time, if you're interested in coming along. Which may be a little bit tricky for you American folks. But
realistically, there's half an hour of people talking to start with.
Yeah, which doesn't really stop throughout the night.
And quite a lot of noisy eating.
Oh, it's all good stuff. Yeah. Do get in touch if you're interested in coming along. It's a blast, even though it perhaps is not the best way to play the game as intended.
It's a way to play the game.
Guild Wars on Tuesday, still going. We've settled into a comfortable
retirement. I was aware it was still going because they obviously haven't closed the game.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people interested in the Guild Wars 2 Ranger details they announced over the last week or two. We're all chatting about that this week. Seems interesting. Seems like they're trying to turn the Ranger into a sort of, I don't know, sort of very, well, Rangers are obviously always DPS, but they're trying to make it a bit more pet-based, and apparently the archery's not nearly as important. I don't know. Have to see. We're still arsing around in factions at the moment, still doing the various quests. It's quite a bottleneck. It's something we go through a lot, this particular stage of factions. It's the bit where you have to go off and meet the Luxans and the Kurziks and then decide which one of them.
Sounds like a travel quest.
There's a lot of travel questing going on in that game, yeah. And then shortly after this, there's a 10,000 faction point rep grind as well. So we have to find interesting ways to beat that. I think the alliance battles is probably the quickest way we can get our people who need those through that in the fastest manner possible. Which is your sort of 12 versus 12, team, three teams of four competitive PvP thing. Which we'll have to have a go at. I mean, there's not really an awful lot to report. We enjoy ourselves, but it's not. There's nothing new there. There's nothing I haven't talked about on this show quite a lot before, really, going on there. So I shall move swiftly on to what's the other one I play? Oh God, I'm losing them. It's Eve. It's finally happening. Eve. Yes, thank you.
Yes, Eve.
Let's talk Eve then.
Go on then.
I don't know what you're... You give me that reproachful look.
I'm just remembering six years of conversations about this game. Please explain.
Well, we're doing wormholes as usual, which is nothing wrong there. I'm in my scimitar doing logistics. We've got a couple of guardians doing the energy from nothing thing. We've got all sorts of drakes and hurricanes. Drakes and hurricanes seem to be the thing. Myrmidons as well. It's all good, yeah. I think one of our members has got a Nighthawk, actually. Brought along on an extracurricular night out later in the week. Very, very powerful-looking tank on that thing. Very impressive. Is that the one you got?
Yeah. Did he have a active or passive?
I can't remember. I think it might have been active, but I was blasting him with scimitar remote repping anyway. But yeah, we were doing our thing, working some sites, looting some cool stuff. Drake finds us, comes in to our site. We all start panicking because we've seen it coming on the directional scanner way before it arrives.
How many of you were there?
About 10.
You saw a Drake coming. Okay, and start panicking.
One Drake,
right?
And we all... well, you know what I'm like. I do panic very easily. Watching the directional. It was very good. I mean, we knew he was coming. We were ready for it. We were cool and calm and collected, except me.
You already better than 95% of the players in your situation.
Well, this
then.
Is it. I mean, all this sort of theoretical training and this rigorous practice that we'd fallen into for the wormhole excursions, it all paid off because, we knew he was coming and we jumped on him as soon as he got to where we were. That's right, he was working another site and we scanned him down with the combat scanner probes.
You were actively looking for him.
Yeah, kind of. Well, it started off just wanting to keep tabs on him, because one Drake could tear us all up pretty hardcore, in our T2 cruisers and such like. I think our scan guy manages to find the spot and says, "All right, I'm there, come on in." And so we did. I kind of get a bit dithery in terms of fleet command at these points, and usually more aggressive voices take over at this point. I get usurped very easily. But we all jumped in on top of him. He's got him warped, scrambled, got him webbed, got him locked down, and we sort of start beating on him. He's going down quite quick. And we're sort of doing his background check at the same time, of course, doing the bio, work out the employment history. Turns out he's only like 2 months old.
Oh.
I know, and he's in the newbie corp still. Oh. And the more compassionate among us decided in the end that, should we just not blow him up? Let's just ransom him instead then. So there we go. I've done a piratey ransom thing. We got 15 million, which I think is fairly reasonable. And it turns out he hadn't taken a bookmark for his exit wormhole as well. So part of our 15 million deal, we also threw in a wormhole lot to get the hell out of our system with. And he was quite grateful, actually, all things considered. I mean, Drakes go for, what, about 40 million plus fitting? I don't know, somewhere around that.
But what did he use?
No,
yeah.
No. So, 15 million.
So, and, 6 years.
And to remember, if you're in a wormhole and you've lost the wormhole, so you're going through a wormhole and there's a wormhole behind you that you've just come in from. You've got to take a bookmark of that. If you don't take a bookmark of that, you then have to scan it down with a scan probe launcher and core or combat scan probes. If you haven't got one of those on board, you are royally screwed. There is no way, once you walk away from that exit bookmark, that you're ever going to find it again unless you got the scan probe launcher.
Couldn't you use the inbuilt scanner?
No, that doesn't find the wormholes. That just finds combat sites.
Wow. What do you do? You have to put yourself.
Yeah, exactly. The way to get out, if you cannot find the wormhole, is self-destruct your ship or just eject and leave it where it is and self-destruct your pod. You will wake up back in normal space at your clone location.
Wow.
With your implants gone. So, losing your exit bookmark is an absolutely fundamental problem if you haven't got a way to re-find it again. So I think 15 million probably was quite reasonable. But then 2 months old, he's going to have many implants. I don't know what happened, really. I mean, he might have been an old, so who knows? I don't know. He agreed and we honoured our side of it and we let him go and he disappeared. So.
I think you all learnt an important lesson.
Yeah.
And I learnt an important lesson too, which is 6 years of you whining about how bad PvP is and how nasty pirates are. You know, nasty pirates who ransom people are.
It's different when you got 10 people behind you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Might is right. Oh, I'm a bad, bad man. My moral compass is just spinning wildly in that game these days. So who knows? Who knows what atrocities I'll be talking about in a fortnight?
I think you finally discovered Eve.
I think there'll be a massive corp theft I think I'll do next. Yeah, that should be interesting. On the whole, though, going well. We can regularly pull in about 500 million worth of stuff as a fleet on a Wednesday. So, and then we divvy that up and sell it all off when we get back. It's all quite good. And, like I say, you don't even need to all be in the same corp for it all. So That's all good stuff. My planetary interaction. Do you want to hear my big planetary interaction rant? I didn't get around to telling you about my...
No, I heard it.
You've heard it already.
I heard it because I was online at the time.
You've heard it several times. Okay.
Yeah, so go for it.
My planetary interaction then. Well, it's... I don't know. I did like everyone else. I trained up their new skills, rushed out, bought some command centres, plonked them down on some planets and went, woohoo! Started putting together my little Lego set and I thought, wow, look, I'm a galactic emperor at last. I've got three planets now. Yes, I'm a multi-planet overlord.
Wow.
I share these planets with God knows how many other players, so it's somewhat less impressive. So what I did, put down your command set, you look at your minerals, and then I thought, right, there's five minerals here. Now, I did basically work through all the show infos. Show info on each thing tells you what it's used by and what it can be used in, and I drew up my big spreadsheet, did the combines and stuff, and I thought I was being fantastically clever, because what I did is I worked out that for each planet type, you can get all the way up to the penultimate combine with only stuff that's on that planet. So you don't need to bring in stuff, you don't need to bring stuff out to other planets to react it all together.
Could I suggest that this may not be uncommon knowledge?
Yeah, look, listen, I'm being clever. Anyway, yes, I worked all this. Yeah, the thing is, I worked this all out from first principles. I don't just go straight to a wiki and find it. I should have done that, really. It would have saved me a lot of time and effort.
Yeah, but what's the point of EVE if you don't have a spreadsheet?
Absolutely. It's a very, very big spreadsheet game. Even the
numbers
combat.
On the iPad... And EVE, if you ever want a reason to buy an iPad, that is it.
It's a game I play with a desk, with a handheld calculator on my desk. Yeah, yeah, for fun as well. So I thought, oh, that'd be very clever. I'll combine it right up to some very valuable materials indeed, using only stuff found on this planet. It's like it was very much like Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall, sort of Ray Mears kind of thing. Yeah. You know, planet survival, but only on a massive industrial scale. I was making vaccines on one of them. I was making Urokomi superconductors on another one, and the other one was making I can't even remember. It was some piece of tat that nobody turns out to want. So I looked at all. So I'm making all these stuff, combining it all together. Of course, my factory ratios are all over the place because I'm in different hotspot. I'm only in one hotspot for one mineral, and all the other minerals are at different rates. So the factories are idle for about 90% of the time while they're waiting for material A to be the same as material B. Right, old mess. Anyway, I'm turfing out.
Have you considered changing the number of miners you got?
Yeah, that occurred to me much later on.
Okay.
Don't get ahead of me here.
Your friend.
I know, this is all documented. Apparently EVE University has a very comprehensive
list. Yes, they do, it's very good.
Already. So yeah, save yourselves lots of time and effort and go look there instead. So I was producing about six of these items every like 3 days or something, and then trying to sell them, and it's just crazy the market in there for this stuff. It's absolute rock bottom. I don't have the patience. No, I was even rarely putting them up as sell orders. I wasn't actually just turfing them off to whoever would buy them for the most. It was, I'm going to charge this kind of price. It was the lowest price in the region, and they did not sell at all.
Well, the problem is, everyone's doing this because they can.
Yeah, I'm not unique in this thinking, I'm sure.
And people don't realise what they're for.
Yeah.
And corporations are being quite self-sufficient.
I think
they need
the stuff I was making can turn up as POS fuels, but then, given how easy and how casual I was given it, I mean, if you're running a POS, you're probably going to set your own planets up and do this stuff.
If you're running a POS, you've probably got one of these in system.
Yeah.
I know we do.
Or your corp between them and their planet allowance is sorting it all out. So who's buying this stuff? Answer, nobody. No bugger's buying it. So I'll pull it all off the market and just throw it down into the low ball buy orders just to get rid of it. And so I was not happy with this. And you know what I'm like when I start getting all OCD about these things.
You're grumpy and OCD, it's a sight to behold.
I was galvanised into action by my irritability.
I shall smite this game.
Exactly. Right, I got to figure this out. I did all the spreadsheet-y maths and worked it all out. And using because remember, none of this stuff is NPC-driven at all.
It's all 100% player.
There's no NPC demand for any of it. So you can only really sell this stuff for what other players are prepared to pay. Seems reasonable enough. That's a tangent. Have you seen what this stuff's done to the traditional NPC trading market? It's absolutely gutted it, because it's taken most of those commodities off of that altogether. There's almost no NPC trade you know, the good old Elite days where you buy something at a low price from a place where they're producing too much of it and sell it at a high price. The fundamental core nuts and bolts of basic space combat trading gameplay.
I had this gorgeous silicate glass ring going for ages.
Yeah, I used to do robotics, small fortune, frozen foods and all that. Use EVE Central, very good helper utility there.
I was letting the production order, the production rates get some on the market, and then the buy orders sell it back. It was all purely just using the NPC trade rates.
That's pretty much all gone now. There's almost nothing large scale commodity wise that NPC stations and planets are buying.
Shocking.
Or producing. Yeah, so that's basically the only trade goods gameplay available now is through all this planet stuff. And of course, players being players, they want absolutely huge prices to sell things, and they want to buy stuff for virtually nothing, so there's absolutely no impetus at all for anyone to just load up a Badger in the traditional manner with stuff from A and take it to B, because there is no margin to be had at all. It just does not meet anywhere near the middle, the sells and the buys. So that's out. So you got to work with what people are prepared to buy. And I did all the numbers, and I worked out that it was costing me 90,000 ISK to manufacture 30,000 ISK's worth of stuff. In other words, if I'd have just taken the basic raw materials and literally ripped them out of the planet, stuff them on a spaceship and sell them for the best price, I could be earning three times as much as if I went through this stupid rigmarole of combining stuff up. And that's even if the ratios all worked. Yeah. Getting up to rank 3 or tier 3 combines or whatever, and then trying to sell those on the market to a market where nobody wants them anyway. So my big Tim's big top economic Eve tip at the moment is don't bother with factories. Factories are basically devices for burning ISK, as far as I could tell. You shovel stuff into it, and you also shovel large amounts of money into
it. The only people who should bother with factories are the people who have use for the goods.
This isn't based on me. This is all based on what existing buy orders are on the market. I mean, I don't have the patience to put stuff up for a price and wait, because it just wasn't working, and no bugger wants this stuff anyway, as far as I can tell. So I'm literally selling the it's not the actual combined stuff. And this is annoying, because the stuff you rip straight out of the planet, the base raw materials, don't go in the special cargo bay on the Primae.
That'd
to go
and
get the transport ship from up in Kaldari space, bring it down. But using that, I can, well, I don't know, I mean, I, so I read, I basically demolished pretty much everything, then went to each planet, looked at the five items. Yeah, you scan, you do your mineral scan, there's five things there. You look, see which one of those pays the best in your region, and just go to the hotspot, put a crap load of mines down on it, and a star launch pad thing. The launch pad thing functions as a warehouse as well. Yep. It's got a 10,000 metre cubed capacity, so you don't need to bother with storage. So I've got 14 mines and a launch pad and a command centre on each planet. Each one's mining the most valuable thing on that planet. It's not even special planets, really. It's just wherever I was. And at the moment, I can now generate about 1.5 million every 24 hours.
Not a lot, really.
Well, it's not a huge lot in the scheme of things, but,
but
all I've got to do is log in and click mine.
Are you at 3 or 4 in your control tower skill?
No, there's 3, I think.
Okay.
That's the standard.
Yeah, outpost. So there's 2 levels above that.
Oh, I could increase it, yeah.
You could be making more.
Yeah, but, yeah, fine, I can be making a lot more doing other stuff, certainly, but this is... I log in for 5 minutes going off to play whatever.
If you had a bigger one, you could put down more miners.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Train that command center control skill all the way up. Also, train the interplanetary consolidation one up as well, and just put one base down on every planet in your system. You can get up to 6 if you train it all the way. And, yeah, give them as many mines as you can. The money is based... I don't know who's doing it. Somebody is putting several lots of people are putting very large buy orders on for the base... ripped out of the ground materials, because their own mines aren't mining fast enough, presumably.
I reckon it's probably people who can't be asked to tend mines all the time.
Maybe.
But they're making T2 stuff. They're working towards outposts or something.
Who knows? For whatever reason, they've decided to pay X for the base bottom of the chain materials, and I'm quite happy to provide it, because it's just basically a question of logging in, click mine.
Yep.
It could do with a select all for that, thank you.
It could really do with a select all for that.
Clicking each one individually.
Every mine I have on every system, please just go.
I was chatting to the Wormhole guys about it, and they're all doing this as well. And it's a real disappointment with the lack of involved gameplay for this
stuff. I was shocked at how...
Once you set your network up, all you have to do, literally, is just click mine more stuff once every 24 hours
or 3 days.
It
really doesn't seem very CCP-like.
No, there's no skill to it. There's nothing you could practice and get better at. It literally is an on-off switch that keeps turning itself off every 24 hours. Very annoying. But at the same time, it's just generating free money. And ultimately, that free money will depend on people eventually deciding that they don't want to buy this raw materials as well, in which case the whole market will disappear and collapse and no bugger will do it anymore. So, yeah. So there's my advice of planetary interaction. Don't bother with factories. You're wasting your time. As far as I can tell, unless I'm missing a trick somewhere along the line, perhaps the very, very top stuff does sell for phenomenal amounts.
No, that's just for construction output.
Yeah, it's very, very specialised.
Yeah.
Most players will never need this stuff.
Talking as somebody in a corp, we're doing everything internally.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's content for our players.
Well, if I can put together this kind of out setup with just one account, if you've got like 10 players in your corp or 20 or 30, you've probably got enough planets covered to make anything you could possibly need.
We were actually looking at outposts thinking, oh, we've got all this stuff, what should we do with it?
Might as well build an outpost to put it in.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So, yeah, so planetary interaction, well, I'm quite happy I'm getting 1.5 million a day for free for just clicking a few things every now and then.
Yeah.
It still doesn't earn me as much as the data core research agents, I don't think, in terms of offline cash income. And nowhere near as much as just logging in for a few hours, hanging out with the guys in the fleet and having a laugh and going in wormholes.
Well, I think that's always going to be the thing.
Well, I'd hope that you'd earn more by actively playing than not being logged in.
In that game, you always learn more for shooting stuff.
Yeah. So that's good. Let's talk about DDO.
Oh, we can do that if you must.
Yeah, we've moved on to a new adventure pack.
Huzzah!
Oh, yes, it's the Necropolis Part 4. I believe you'll find it in the high-level adventures section.
What level are
you? I'm so proud. I'm personally level 12. I think I might have just dinged 13 last time we played, and we're way too low for this adventure pack, but we bought it anyway.
Are you going to have to stop buying the blue one?
No, we did one, actually. We did an adventure from that pack and successfully completed it. Yeah. So that's good, on Friday.
So you've completed the red ones and you're moving on to the blue ones next to you.
Blue ones?
The blue box of adventures.
Oh God. I don't think it works like that anymore. That's really old school. I don't think anyone's going to get that reference.
That's original school. Yeah,
old school. If you know what a red book is, then yeah, you're probably quite old.
I also can't remember if blue was the second one or not.
I can't remember. I don't think I ever got that far. Or ever.
Anyway.
Yes. So, yeah, level 13 Arcane Archer. I got the fire arrows. Did I talk about those? The ones that explode? Yeah, nothing new apart from that. Yes, we got the Orchard of the Macabre is your big overland explorable zone for this Necropolis Part 4. There's some thing with a black abbot.
That's a beer.
And... is it a real ale? Yeah, I can imagine. And also, yeah, the shining silver mantle blade.
That's a beer.
I can't remember. Shining blade is Guild Wars. Silver mantle? Don't know. It's a kind of paramilitary priestly organisation who have an interest in sorting
Church
out the Black
of England.
Abbot. Yes, very much. And also, there's the Emerald Claw, who are a bunch of people I'd never heard of before. They're mercenaries, and they don't like the silver shining
surfers.
People, silver surfers, and the Emerald. Yeah, the Green Lanterns, they don't like the Silver Surfers, and there's a big thing going on where you can only pick one side and stuff. And then there's a bunch of collectible things you can get. I really should pay more attention to what goes on in these games I play. These sections would be much more informative in that case.
I think they would, yeah.
I like the Orchard of the Macabre, though. It's very much like the Manectoran Desert in that you get this absolutely massive sort of outdoor explorable zone you can just go off romping around killing stuff in, and during that romping you're getting the incremental kill X many people quests being given to you over and over, just that you get a sort of analogue for getting XP per kill in other games. And it's full of rare places to go, and it's full of boss encounters and all sorts. And then, you've got actual adventures hanging off of it as well. I don't know how many. I think it's about six or so, something like that. Seems similar in scale and scope to the Manectaran Desert, which we really have gotten a lot of money's worth out of. I really do recommend that adventure pack. And this one seems to be another good one too. It's about 750 points, which makes it at the expensive end of the adventure pack content, but does seem worth it. Does seem like you get a lot for your money with it. So that'll keep us going, I don't know, up to, well, it's a high level adventure pack, so probably up to about 16 or so. I don't know what happens beyond that. I don't know, I was just so proud that we're now shopping in the high level section of the shop. It's very good. We're making progress. We are somebody. We're getting there. Our guild airship hasn't shown up yet.
No.
Damn it. We need to farm more and get that Zeppelin on board. Well,
how'd you get the Zeppelin?
It's a bit like Warhammer, you know, the Warhammer guild levelling.
No.
No, no, right. Fair enough. You know computer games, yeah?
No.
Well, anyway, your guild earns renown for, well, seemingly on a random basis for occasional kills of stuff.
Okay.
Sometimes when you kill stuff, you'll get some points towards your guild's XP bar. Yeah, everything's got an XP bar now.
Yeah.
And also sometimes in the chest loot, you'll get items that are like heroic deeds or impressive trophy or whatever, and they just instantly, when you loot them, they instantly convert into larger amounts of guild XP as a sort of item you'll find in a chest. We've got up to guild level 6 now, so that's not bad, but...
That sounds impressive.
Well, you don't get the Zeppelin until level 20, and also you need about 5 million gold as well. And to facilitate this, they've even put in a kind of shared guild deposit account in the Zeppelin shop.
No, don't knock that. That's a brilliant idea.
Oh, it's a very clever and nifty idea.
Lotro could have done that just for paying for
the kinship house. Yeah. Whatever. I mean, it's just really clever. Yeah, exactly. Anyone from the guild can go up and pay them some money. It's non-refundable, but that all goes into the same pot, allowing people to make anonymous donations. I don't know if it has an audit log or whatever, but yeah, basically it means you can share the cost of it across the whole guild. I don't think the money's going to be the issue, to be honest. It's getting the 20 levels of guild XP. We're only at level 6. I mean, each level unlocks stuff. Level 1 unlocks guild chat, which is nice. They gave us level 1 at the start, thank goodness. The first thing we got on the guild level was the ability to send unsolicited guild invitation emails out. like level 3, you get unlocks the ability to spam guild invites via the mailbox system. Lovely. You too could have already won a place in the Irredeemable Waves. Oh, yeah. We've not really used that one much. There's a discount reagent vendors, that sort of thing. That's the consumables everyone needs for their spells. It's little stuff, nothing vastly impressive so far. I think the first interesting new mechanic comes at 10, guild level 10, which is the augments. Tiny guild augments. We all misread that as arguments. So we can have tiny guild arguments at level 10.
You can never have a tiny guild argument with lesser in the guild.
They always go straight into massive guild arguments, but I think we don't get those until guild level 50. Ah. So we've got to be quite polite to each other in our bickering. But I think that's some kind of socketing system. Your item has a number of slots. You buy the things that increase stats by slotting items. A bit like, well, pretty much every game out there these days. But yeah, level 20, you can get the I can't even remember what the name is. There's two Zeppelins available. There's one with the number. They have the hook system. It's very, very Lotro. Like the kinship house where you got the number of things you can attach things to.
But ladies and gentlemen, what is wrong with the Galaxy's model of housing?
Yeah, go and look at Star Wars Galaxy's housing. That was incredible and still is probably one of the best systems out there.
Not one of, it is the best. Mm. It is better even than in real life.
Yeah, well, these hooks can take crew members as well, which seems a bit cruel.
Aww.
But the crew members will be things like...
You can hang Teppo up
hang
a hook.
From the wall. No. Teppo. NPCs.
Okay.
But they'll be able to they'll dish out buffs for a certain time limit and this, that and the other. Basically, you increase the airship's
If they buff you, do you get to take them down and let them run around for a while? Maybe go to the loo and have some food?
I don't know.
Is just not a direct reward?
No, they buff us again or they get the hose.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you can hang them up, you can need that. Also, you can buy the wall.
At 20, you can get the other airship, which requires cash shop astral diamond things.
Ka-ching!
Yeah, ta-ching, which apparently is far superior and it looks sleeker and it has more hooks for things. And yeah, it's all just. I think a lot of that astral diamond nonsense is on a sort of rental basis. I don't know. It all seems a bit cynical to me. I think we're going to make do with the free one, thank you, because it's going to take a lot of blood, sweat and tears and in-game gold just to get it. Well, with your guild beyond level 25, your guild XP begins to decay over time, so the whole thing becomes a maintenance exercise. Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, us super casual once a week, so I have no chance of that.
You've been punished yet again because of...
Punished
because
we don't play enough.
Comparison to the other people.
I know. Well, I don't know. I take it or leave it. I mean, the good thing about the whole guild renown system is that you're getting renown points for things you would be doing anyway. It's not requiring you to go somewhere special to farm special things. You get given the stuff just in the normal course of your adventuring. So, it's just a question of being philosophical about it. Or we'll get the airship when we get it. But we'll still care and having fun anyway. But yeah, the orchard's very good. It's a very sort of gloomy sort of graveyard necropolis thing, but quite a wide wooded valley with curiously floating trees.
Ooh.
Yeah, because that makes it all magical.
How do they get the water in?
I don't know. From like air plants or something. Ooh. I don't know.
I'm not sure they can support a plant that big.
It's pretty big. They sort of spin as well. It's all very, very good. So yeah, lots of potential there. There's lots of different sections of this area and lots of different whirlies to go inside, and presumably a good number of quests to go there. I feel like I've missed out a bit because we've not done the Necropolis part 1, 2, or 3 yet.
That's just shocking.
Jumped straight in at 4, and I think there's something of an ongoing story in progress to it all, which I'm
most likely
getting.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why it's part 4. Yeah. But I think that'll last us for a good couple of weeks, and I'm enjoying it so far. So I think, yeah, if you're looking at, you're probably on a wait a bit longer than we did. Probably looking at level 14 to get the most out of the Necropolis part 4. But it's room to grow into. You know, like when you buy clothes for children.
Yeah.
You have like the hems down flapping around the bottom.
I buy clothes that way now.
You never know, you may grow into them, yeah.
I will.
One day. Yeah, so that's all me regulars. I've been playing a lot of StarCraft as well this week. I don't know why, it's probably all this StarCraft 2 stuff going off everywhere.
Oh, after the ranting in the last show. We read to the news about the nastiness of Blizzard, and you go back and...
The thing is, it's sort of partly investigative. I think I did enjoy it, but it's been a very long time since I played it. So I thought, well, let's give it another go, see if StarCraft is worth all the fuss and hype. Yeah, and so I've already completed the Terran campaign. Yeah, it's all right. It's a fairly standard RTS of the type. Various different buildings, units, etc. You build your base. You need the more minerals.
You zerg win.
Insufficient Vespene gas, etc. And yeah. It's an interesting story, but I seem to remember it being far better than it actually is, you know?
I think most people...
my rosy hindsight of the game probably elaborated a great deal on what was actually there, which is, very straightforward story of underdogs and betrayal and twists and the incoming swarm. I mean, it's practically identical to the story behind Warcraft 3, if you look at it. I'm sure there's charts out there, but and I'm hoping that StarCraft 2 does something a little
different. Are you accusing Blizzard of being unoriginal?
I'm very much accusing Blizzard of being very unoriginal, yes. The Terrans are quite obviously Space Marines. Yeah. The Zerg, I think Ridley Scott would like a word. and the Protoss is like your sort of weird, proud warrior race alien Eldar. Generic Greys meet precursor technology sort of thing.
So Heinlein.
Heinlein, yeah.
Ridley Scott, yeah. And who did the Elder race first, do you reckon?
Oh, it's an overdone trope.
It's going to be Asimov for someone, isn't it?
Probably H.P. Lovecraft, I don't know.
Very original.
There's not a lot of an originality in it. I mean, it's interesting.
And of course, it's only coincidence that all three match to a race in Games Workshop.
Absolutely. Tyranids. Did Tyranids predate StarCraft, or were they a fairly recent addition? Gene Stealers were always there, weren't they?
Tyranids have been in there since the original book.
Yeah.
There was a Tyranid warrior in the original
book. I think Protoss may predate the Tau, though. I don't know.
Yeah, but...
the Tau use a lot of drone technology, so the Protoss... Yeah. Oh, who knows? Who cares? So I'm talking about halfway through the Zerg campaign now. I mean, I do like how each of the different races plays. It's like very good textbook by the numbers. Here's how to make different and distinctive, interesting armies in an RTS setting. So mechanically, it's a very good game. I mean, like I say, the story's pretty uninspirational, to be honest. It owes a lot to pretty much everything else. And I'm just wondering about StarCraft 2. Have we actually seen any gameplay footage anywhere?
A lot of it's been leaked.
It's all this stupid FMV. I was remembering correctly in how impressive the cutscenes were in StarCraft. Yeah. Even for a game of that ilk, that era.
Yeah, but there are whole studios out there who just do cutscenes now.
Maybe they buy that stuff in. Maybe they've just. Have had a very good cutscene team, which is great. I mean, they should just let them go off and make an FMV film. Full feature film with their awesome technology.
Beyond the cutscene porn at this stage.
I'm not. I'm a shameless addict for cutscenes. They motivate me and make me want to keep playing.
It's like the tour stuff there. Churning out,
I mean, I don't like it as an exclusion to all else in the PR run-up. That just annoys the hell out of me. I'd like to see the game, please.
It just always sets you up saying, this is brilliant. Oh, it's not that brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, a good cutscene is an adequate reward for a well-thought level, I think. That's a good way to do it all. But, yeah, if that's the main selling point, then perhaps your game needs to be raised somewhat. So, halfway through the Zerg campaign, I'm Yeah, I don't know. I'm starting to bounce off it a bit already, to be honest. Well, the thing is, in its day, I just can't understand how it became the national pastime of South Korea, you know?
I don't know.
It's not that great. To look at Total Annihilation, far superior.
I think it's because it is capable of being, as any sport needs to be, you have to be able to break it down into individual things you can improve at.
I suppose. And specialise in a particular race.
The actions per second thing is quite big in that scene.
It's very... Yeah, I mean, StarCraft it's one itself is very micromanage intensive. You've got to be on the ball, you've got to keep clicking, keep stuff moving about.
I think that's what made it...
There were a couple of levels that threw me. I had to retry some levels, you know. I didn't just walk straight over it, so I'm still going. So, I'm wondering... It sort of got me thinking about other games, though, and I imagine it won't be long before I fire up Total Annihilation again or Command & Conquer or that kind
of
thing.
It's almost as if you read the Twitter question.
Maybe, yes. So, yeah, playing that a bit. I'm still playing Freelancer. I talked about that on a previous show. Dipped into a bit of Assassin's Creed. Damn it, I will finish that game. It's like...
Finish it or get all the flags.
Oh, to hell with the flags. God, no. I mean, just finish the main story. I mean, I keep bouncing off it. It's like I have to take a good run up to get past the tedium. Oh, an interesting bit. Oh, I'm dead. Right. Back to something else then. Something interesting.
I liked
Assassin's Creed doesn't reward me enough. Not getting enough hits.
Well, hurry up and finish it.
I know,
so
I'm gonna keep working.
Get Assassin's Creed 2 back off whoever I lent it to.
I'm told Assassin's Creed 2 addresses a great many of those problems, mostly by you, and I have no cause to not believe you, so I'm looking forward to trying that. But I feel I ought to finish the first one.
I liked Assassin's Creed 1 as well, so yeah.
Oh, I like it. It's a fantastic, just sort of wandering around the street. Very well detailed city, very well imagined world. But
the historian in me really loves that game because it does. It recreates an environment you don't see very often.
That's mostly why I dip back into it. I just wanted to immerse myself in that world a bit more. But, yeah, the actual game mechanics of it all are a bit hit and miss.
Clunky.
Yeah, clunky is the word.
Not fully developed.
I like the free running, but, you know, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So, yeah, that's about it, really. I probably ought to let you talk.
Okay.
Would you like to talk? You said you haven't played anything this...
No,
this
I have played one or two things.
Go on, then. Tell us what you did.
I started off, I've been playing through Death's Bank still.
Oh, yeah. That looked to look good. It sort of reminded me of a sort of Ron Gilbert.
It's why.
It had a sort of Monkey Island aura to
it. It's got that Looney Tunes background art to it.
Yeah.
The trees and whatnot. It's got a sense of humour. It plays just like an MMO with only you in there, which is my ideal thing. It's got decent combat. Not great combat, but it's decent.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you've got three different attacks, so you can chain them together. Well, four attacks if you include your bow. It works quite a lot like Fables 1, but a bit more complicated. So you've got your attack with your sword, attack with your second weapon, the special attack, and also your crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
You've got lots and lots of quests to do.
Uh-huh.
Lots of kill 10 rats type quests.
Ah, yeah. the bread and butter.
And just... The world is amazing and I love it.
Excellent.
As I would hope from a Ron Gilbert thing.
Bit over the top with the rolling scenery thing going on. That's there. When you move forward and backward, it looks like the whole world is on a very long cylinder.
There's a very small world until you start moving, then you've...
But it doesn't do the sideways thing at
you're
all.
You're not where you meant... Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think it's just what I needed in a fantasy RPG.
A drop-in sort of thing.
A very light, short... thing where you can build up your skills, select your new abilities, whatnot, find new equipment, gather equipment, sell it, blah blah blah. But it's just fun. It doesn't take itself seriously at all. In fact, as you can imagine, it is incredibly humour focused, and it's just so refreshingly fun to play. And I recommend everyone takes a look at it.
Where do you find that?
It's on Xbox Live Arcade and PSN.
Okay.
Xbox version, of course, has a demo. I'm not sure if the PSN version does. I hope it does.
Hmm.
But at least check out the demos. It is definitely worth a go. Do not go at it looking for a sensible, deep Dragon Age style. I want to be sucked into this world. I want to live it.
Hmm.
It is purely a comical run around, killing stuff, have fun type thing.
Oh, there's definitely a place for those. I love the name as well. Deathspank.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with it.
Yeah, how can you not like a game called Deathspank? Who is the name of the main character?
That's the protagonist.
Yeah. I signed up for PlayStation Plus as
Okay. How's that going for you?
Basically, I wanted to... I purely want to pay the money to patch my PlayStation. So when I want to watch a film, when I want to watch a play, there is not a patch waiting for me, and I don't have to spend an hour waiting.
I feel like I shouldn't approve of that.
No,
really.
I
the
don't,
thing shouldn't need patching so frequently
I
in the first place.
I don't approve of it, and I've completely failed by subscribing to it. But I figured
you're
out
sort of sending a message that this sort of behaviour is all right.
I figured I will take that hit to remove the big annoyance of the platform.
Fair enough.
Yeah, the first two things it tried to make me download were Mod Nation Racers demo.
Yeah.
Which I've never played the demo for, but I own Mod Nation Racers.
It ought to be clever enough to work that out, you think?
Well, if only it was that dumb. Because it also tried downloading the demo for Heavy Rain.
Uh-huh. Which a game
played,
you also own.
And the demo's already on the PS3. I didn't delete it from when it came out.
Joined up thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, brilliant, Sony. But then again... The next thing it downloaded for me was Kane and Lynch 2, Dog Days, the demo for that, which is the next in the not very fondly regarded Kane and Lynch series.
I remember getting very, very, basically lambasted the Kane and Lynch 1 for basically just buying reviews left, right and centre from various disreputable online game magazines and whatnot.
Well, apparently it was worth a sequel, and it's now coming out, and I played the demo. There's one good thing about the demo, but before then, because I want to end this on a good thing, I'll mention the bad things.
All right.
The shooting sucks.
Okay.
The cover sucks.
Yeah.
The running makes me feel sick.
Okay.
The
nausea.
The environments in the demo are uninspired and exactly the same as in lots of other games, Army of Two. You know, it's in that Shanghai type environment that everyone is using. Was there a meeting I missed at GDC a couple of years
generic
ago
high
where
tech
everyone decided we're going to need to set it somewhere high tech? Well, we could set it in America. No, we can't do that. Okay, let's shove it in China or somewhere.
Generic high tech Chinese city.
Yeah, it's not a very good game.
Sounds like a steaming heap to me.
The cover system doesn't work. It makes that mistake where, you know, you're trying to latch into cover and you can't do it. Because if you're going to do a third-person cover system, do it as well as Gears.
I don't know. I still have trouble with Gears. I sometimes end up sticking to the wrong pillars and things.
But if you can't do it as well as Gears, which is how many years old now? Five years old? Whatever?
Yeah.
Then don't even bother.
It's like comical scenes when I'm trying to catch up with you and I'm back somewhere in a corridor bouncing between pillars and leaping across doorways randomly.
There was a bit earlier, I was watching it be played, ran up the side of some scaffolding to a bit which looked like it was perfect raised up cover bit.
Chest high wall.
Yeah, basically chest high.
I see those in real life now and mark them out as tactical objects.
Went to crouch behind it, you know, take cover behind it.
Yeah.
The command actually decided to interpret that as a leap over it. Fell to death. Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should never have to fight the controls. You should only fight the enemy.
Oh, it's the loading screen where it gives you the list of controls. Every button does something.
Oh, God.
You don't need to be this complicated.
Mm, yeah. So go play Fable 2 again and we'll talk more.
There's two things. You don't need to be that complicated. And also, any major deviation away from the Modern Warfare controller system gets you slated.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
The only good thing about the game is the graphical style.
Hmm.
Now, there's a filter over everything, and it all looks like it's been shot on a crappy mobile phone and uploaded to YouTube.
I think that would annoy me quite considerably.
No, it works really well.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
If you look down at a dark place, you get the digital noise where it's trying to counter cause by upping the ISO.
Right.
If you move around fast, you get a bit of breakup. There's horrible lens flares which make the last Star Trek film look normal. And
wow,
graphically it looks gorgeous in a this is a gorgeous type of graphical thing.
It's a very clever technique, I suppose. I'd have to see it in motion to
I love judgment, the graphics. It's just I hate the game.
Fair enough.
What else? Oh, Crackdown.
Crackdown 2.
I spent a very enjoyable Saturday.
Have you found all the orbs yet?
Not yet. I haven't been actively looking for them all. I spent a very enjoyable Saturday in which I was meant to be doing lots of things the other week with Bevis, and we were online collecting orbs and doing stuff and just messing around.
Uh-huh.
And it ate up way too many hours of my Saturday and was great.
So it captures the multiplayer aspect of the first one happily then?
Yeah.
Mm, good.
It is fun. It's brilliant. It's just like the first one. Do not buy it if you're expecting it to be a revolutionary upgrade. It is exactly the same.
I think you called it Crackdown 1.5 last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 1.25. It's the first expansion pack for Crackdown.
Ah.
But yes, it's still brilliant.
Fair enough.
And I need to collect all the orbs. But my lack of gaming...
That's a compulsion.
My lack of gaming enthusiasm isn't even... I was expecting it to be countered by Crackdown.
Yeah.
But no, even the obsessive collecting of orbs.
Yeah. So you're in a bit of a doldrums generally at the moment.
I am, yes.
Oh, dear.
And even the next game...
Mm-hmm.
I said I didn't play much, but I played quite a lot, actually. Now, even the next game didn't really manage to do anything about it, which is Limbo.
Limbo. Never heard of it. Explain. Limbo,
Xbox Live Arcade indie game. Not an Xbox Live indie game, but an indie game released on Xbox Live Arcade. Proper right. Release. Black and white. Looks very, very arty. And you're basically this kid who wakes up, and you've got to traverse the world and just... That's it. And solve puzzles. So, you know,
right.
you got to figure out how to get past the spider, for instance, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's these lovely, large, silhouetted spiders. And it's all black and white and misty, and it's gorgeous. Side-on 2D game.
Sort of. See, it feels a bit like Full Circle, really. This is the kind of thing we were playing on the Spectrum way back, you know, Manic Miner, Jet Set Willy, etc., Dizzy.
Sort of
side-scrolly, move from room to room, deal with the puzzles, yeah, jumping about.
Yeah, definitely. It's going back to
there
that.
There was a lot of that back
but
in the
with a lot
days.
More modern look on it.
So obviously, yeah.
So basically, you know, the puzzles are better.
Yeah.
The graphics are better and it just flows better. And, you know, it's not a puzzle every 20 seconds like you'd expect. And the atmosphere is... an important part of it.
Excellent.
And it is brilliant, and everyone should go and buy it.
Right, another one for the list.
Yeah. I'm recommending too many games to buy, aren't I? What else have I played? Nothing.
Really?
Oh, no. Actually, no, I did spend a couple of hours farming Gears of War 2's 20 times XP.
Oh, have I missed that?
Probably, yeah.
Well, by the time you hear this, you will have missed it.
I think it might be on until later tonight. No, I managed to get up from level 30 to level 40.
Well done, you.
Yeah, it was really exciting. Don't know why I did that. I really don't know why I did that.
Is there an achievement for level 40?
There's achievements for 40 and 50, and then there's one for 100, but they're tied in with other stuff, which I haven't done yet.
Right.
And to be honest, I don't really care that much about those achievements.
I am somewhat sceptical of levels and experience in Gears of War, particularly. Yeah. It doesn't seem to serve any kind of purpose at all, so...
Yeah, so I don't know why I did that.
Right, because it was there.
I was watching TV at the same time, basically.
It's not even actively engrossed in the activity itself.
No, not at all.
No, that's yeah.
Yeah, my enthusiasm for gaming is at an all-time low.
Well, it will be if you keep doing stuff like that. You want to go and you look in your huge bookcase over there,
dig out
something that's like 3 to 5 years old that you really remember enjoying.
You know what I've been doing?
Retro, that's where it's at.
I've been grabbing PS2 games.
Yeah?
Yeah, PS2 games, that's my way out of
this. PS2 games,
yeah. I've never played it, so I grabbed a copy of Fahrenheit yesterday, and I'm going to play that.
Yeah, I've been doing that as well. I've been looking through my big stack of DVDs right near the bottom and stuff.
It's like
StarCraft being a good example, and things of that era. I was toying with the idea of buying Descent 1 and 2 off of Good Old Games, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because they'll have got it all patched up to work on Vista and whatever. So.
That's because Good Old Games are good.
I recommend them, yeah. Steam's your other go-to place as well. I'm thinking of getting Psychonauts as well, mostly because everyone says it's awesome.
I've got it on the Xbox as a download on my hard drive.
Yeah.
So I can't lend it to you. But yes, it's definitely worth a play.
I think Yahtzee's on record as holding that up as one of his best games ever.
Yeah.
And he's a difficult man to please. So. Yeah.
Tim Schafer, of course.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm just sort of thinking this is a great time for me to just stop and take pause and review the past.
It's almost as if you'd read what the Twitter question was. Should we move on to the Twitter
question? Let's do the Twitter question, shall we?
What was the Twitter question?
I can't remember. Sorry.
What do you mean you can't remember?
It was a busy day.
Yeah, you didn't write it at all, did you? Because I wrote it. You had gone AWOL.
I was on a holiday.
Yeah.
It was great.
I said, pretending to be you.
I know.
John
Don't
is burnt
count
out.
Share, kids.
John is burnt out on current games again, and the summer release lull is in full swing. Recommend games from yesteryear to play.
Yep, I totally want to know that.
Yeah.
What did everyone say?
It's quite uncanny the way that you managed to set that up without knowing what it was.
I'm in tune with my listeners.
People would think we do planning, but we don't.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
BGA starts with XCOM.
XCOM. I vaguely remember a demo of that.
I'm trying to
iPad doing the tweet to do it thing.
I don't know if it's going on the mics or just the headphone.
Blimey. All right, you may or may not hear this at home.
Yeah, XCOM.
So XCOM, yeah, good one, good classic.
Actually, I've got them on Steam.
Turn-based strategy, squad-based stuff. Was it Laser Squad? I can't remember. And there was a Battle Isle one as well. Not Battle Isle, the main... It was Infection, Battle Isle 4, I think, which was actually a squad of little guys shooting aliens, and you had action points.
Yep.
Mm.
TCSG Darren, I could just call you Darren because that's
Darren from the Common Sense Gamer.
Yeah. It says, give Echelon 2, Book 2 a try. Very old school RPG. You'll like it if you enjoyed Baldur's Gate back in the old days, which I very much did.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, that sounds good. I've never heard of Echelon, but Baldur's Gate, yeah. Good old classic. I think that's one. The original Baldur's Gate one, with a big brown gatefold with about 8 CDs in it.
Ooh.
You have to dig that out and give that a go as well, I think. This may have to be Retro Gaming Month coming up.
I think it will, yeah. Because there's nothing out until the end of August.
That helps.
Yeah, Song Zero. He could get a cup and ball. Hours of ongoing fun. If it must be electronic, I'm sure there's probably an app for that.
Old school.
Oh, actually, I haven't talked about any of my console gaming.
I bet there's an iPhone app for a thing that you just shake and it lands in a thing.
Yeah. I did play a couple of iPad games, but I can't talk about them yet because I haven't played them enough.
Right.
And then he follows up with, "Oh, there's always Farmville."
Yeah, we nearly got through the whole show without a mention.
Yeah. Ackley says, you know what I'll say, Full Gun 4. It's in that stack of DVDs over there, actually. I found it.
You've got it. Oh, we'll give that a go. Yeah,
also, Logan, and my joystick's even out. You see, that's how far I'm getting.
Oh, yeah.
It's close. The two things are getting close.
That joystick's got a flip-top cap to stop you accidentally launching missiles. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the most useless thing ever. Logan to Eathmore, he says, run a mile or three. You'll miss gaming. I'm not running. That's dangerous.
You could log into me though. We could definitely do it because you even fitted a ship.
I fitted the ship.
But
no enthusiasm for playing.
You missed out on the awesome ransom hijinks and japes.
Yeah,
though.
I need to be careful about that. My corpse not allowed to ransom people, partially by one of my rules from back in the day.
Come join our pirate gang. Yeah.
Well, Stroll says, tell him to start work on a Space Hulk mod for Alien Spawn, please. Okay, thanks, Mike.
Blimey. Oh, yeah, because there's source code. You could turn it into an IP from a company who are notoriously litigious.
Yes. JB says, I suggest Manic Mansion. I fell in love with that game and imagine you both would enjoy a quick run through it. I haven't played that since the 80s.
You know, I haven't... The only last place I saw that, it was actually a mini game inside Day of the Tentacle. You could find a computer and it had whole of Manic Mansion inside this computer.
That would be the last time I played it,
popped up.
Fantastic. I don't think I ever completed it.
It was incredible. I never completed Manic Mansion. I completed Day of the Tentacle. That was quite good.
I'm going to have to play that. I'm going to play that on one of the emulators.
I forgot to talk about Alien Swarm. I'll talk about another time.
NT says, seems to me that John might have a few games left over from his gold at the beginning of the year. Yeah, you can go screw yourself.
Easy.
No, I
you're
do.
Right though. Yeah,
I am continuing that.
There's even games in shrink wrap out there, you know. I mean,
there are actually.
Yeah, you should play some of the stuff you've bought and have never played.
Yeah. Xbevis X says, what John needs is a good game of Talisman. Take you so long to finish, we'll be begging to play video games again.
Talisman being
I've got this horrible feeling there's a game of Talisman in my life coming up anyway.
Notorious because of tabletop pen and paper game that has thousands and thousands of rules and difficult to set up.
Brennan's says Carrier Command.
Oh, wow. That's going back. It was an Amiga game, I think, or possibly even predating that Spectrum. Yeah. You had an aircraft carrier and four planes and four little submersible things and a bunch of islands, and there's an evil computer controlled one of them on the opposite. Yeah, yeah.
And I bet. I haven't actually looked at the rest.
You're talking emulation for that, to be honest, if it's out there.
I haven't looked at the rest of the list, but I guarantee he'll get mentioned by the end of this again.
Okay.
But not because of something he says, because of a game that's mentioned.
Right.
Jackson92, StarCraft? Meh.
StarCraft, I'm playing that now.
Master of Orion right. 2. Yes.
Ah, very good. Very
Civ 4, or Call to Bow. I can't play Civ games.
You forget to sleep, do you?
Yeah, really.
Just one more go.
I once forgot New Year because of one.
It's a killer, that one.
Monkey Island. I'm actually playing Monkey Island 2 on my iPad. The Longest Journey. Yeah.
Yeah, something I've been meaning to have a look at. Never got around to.
Baldur's Gate. I've got them somewhere.
Yeah.
And Freelancer.
Freelancer, of course.
Also, Dungeon Keeper 1, 2. Yes.
I've got Dungeon Keeper Gold somewhere, but I can't get it to run. It's always the emulation.
I know.
Trouble, isn't it?
Age of Empires.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kilrith Kodachi. Yep. Can't beat MOO2. If you don't know what MOO2 is, I'll have to pod you. Yeah, we know it's Master of Orion.
Saved yourself.
Yeah. It's like what I did there with you. No, actually, that's a brilliant game. I love
Master of Orion 2, very good. Master of Orion 1 I've got as well somewhere. Good old games do that as a 1 and 2 pack for $5.99 with all its emulation built in.
Yeah.
GOG.com, very good.
Yeah, I don't know if I've managed to get my...
bit of an endorsement
actually,
there.
I probably lost my original copies. They're probably on disc.
Steer well away from Master of Orion 3, though, which was written by somebody else and was an absolute steaming pile of pants, basically.
Coxie117 says, Brazen Gamer, British Bulldog, sure to scare him into love with normal games. Or dodgeball with spanners. I mean wrenches.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Or a dodgeball with wenches.
Oh, it's an entirely different game. I've got to get to work on some rules for that. Yeah.
Phoenix Defire says, if you can find it, I War 2. I've got that on CD. It's in the spare room.
I War.
Intense space sim that needs brains as well. Brilliant game.
I was going to confuse with that, Battle Cruiser 3000.
It's the game which taught me what a Lorange point was.
Wow. Blimey.
Yeah. All my astrophysics comes from that. Samus Garobo, Shining Force 1 and 2, the best games of all time. I think both are DLC for the Wii.
Right.
Never played them.
Never heard of them.
Got a Wii. I might have a look.
Give it a go.
Sean MC74, I bought Overlord 1 and 2 from Steam during the sales. Fun games. Yes, and games I'm clinically incapable of completing.
Yeah.
I've got them both, and yeah. I get to a certain point, then for some reason, enthusiasm just drops off.
I completed Overlord 1.
I love them. Dearly as games.
They're great.
They're
fun.
Brilliant
they're
games.
Little minions.
Brilliant sense of humour. Yeah. The writing in them is brilliant.
Controls are a little bit iffy, sweeping the minions about, but that was the PC version.
Works a lot better on the console.
I could borrow Overlord 2 off you, actually, I think.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why I always get out of steam on them.
I've got games like that. Games I've never completed and I've had for years.
Yeah. Eric Stowe says, classic StarCraft to get ready for StarCraft 2.
Uh-huh.
And WC3 while mentioning Blizz Games.
Mm.
Now, yeah, I've got... I've got no idea where my StarCraft discs are.
You can borrow mine. Hey, I don't often get to lend you games.
No, I don't want to play it. I don't care. I don't like what they did to stealing stuff.
Ah. Keep moving.
Yeah. Dr. Torag.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Old games. John's to try Populous. Tremendously fun. Old fashioned God Sim. Yeah.
I'm not allowed to play that anymore. There was a 6-hour marathon.
With Gremlins. So, yeah.
It was legendary.
Derbart, Master of Magic.
Master of Magic was very good. That's a sort of medieval fantasy themed spin off of Master of Orion.
Vampire Bloodlines. I never played that.
Hmm.
But it's on Steam, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
UFO, yes. Kid Icarus. Grim Fandango.
Fandango.
Definitely. Lost Vikings. Yes, I love
That's
Lost
some good
Vikings.
Old classics there.
Simon the Sorcerer.
Mm, oh, yeah. I've never completed that. Got it. Never got around to finishing it.
Yep. Terratastic. War came out last year, didn't it? Yeah, I know. I didn't log in.
Yeah.
The Vampire Masquerade games or Psychonauts. Uh-huh. Torchlight for quick fun, though new. I don't like Torchlight.
Psychonauts, see, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't finished Psychonauts. It's on my Xbox.
I've never played it, but I hear so many good things about it.
And no, I'm the only person on the planet who doesn't like Torchlight. I think it's a little shy.
I've never played it. I'll have to try that.
And he comes back again because he's like that. maybe he should take a break. If you can, last till 27th of August, Mafia 2 comes out. He'll love that. Yeah, I will love Mafia 2.
Mm.
I've got my beady eyes on that game.
Excellent.
That's my end of August game.
Right.
Last year it was Batman. This
Plan
time,
ahead.
It's going to be that.
Oh, you think it's going to be in the same league as Batman?
Yeah, quite possibly. Some people have been saying Game of the Year for it. Already says, currently playing Abe's Exodus, addictive and lengthy old-school platformer. I missed it the first time around for some reason. Might have to give that a go. Only911B, from not so far yesterday, Free Space 1 and 2. Yes. Definitely.
I think I've still got your Free Space 2 disc.
You probably do. Interstate 76? God, yeah. I haven't thought about that for years.
Oh, blimey.
Further
what was that other one? The one where you were like, was it quarantine? A taxi driver in an infected city?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was, in this country, it was released with zombies because they couldn't show blood, and they were giving the patch.
There was a patch to de-zombie everything.
And they were giving out on CD in the shops next to the game.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
One modern game, Dwarf Fortress.
Dwarf Fortress.
which is a text-based game, I think.
I hear a lot about that and have never tried it as well. Hmm.
Next, we have Beowulf Schaefer, freelancer.
Yeah.
Or just want to play Eve afterwards. No, I don't know. I have a lovely...
Well, Darkstar 1 drove me to Freelancer, so...
Yep. It is Nick. It says Fruit Space 1 and 2. God, they know me so well. Gazruni says Toe Jam and Earl on the Sega Mega Drive.
Mega Drive. I bet you've got one of those somewhere.
I don't actually have a Mega Drive. No.
Really?
No. Ortepo suggesting a Vampire the Masquerade. That's a keeper, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Experience comes back.
I never got on with it, to be honest.
No?
No. Difficulty, I think. I think it got too difficult for me and I got stuck.
Yeah. Bevis comes back with Ooh and Dungeon Keeper. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. I love those games. It's such a pain to get running. Put them on Steam.
I'd see some modern reincarnation of Dungeon Keeper. I think that'd be great.
JB comes back with I would like to add Chrono Trigger to the list.
Uh-huh.
Never played it.
No, another one you hear about, but never seen.
Yeah.
Lots more games out there.
Jeffrey McKinnery says get some planes and play Diablo 2 on a LAN.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay.
Bit of multiplayer Diablo. That's not bad.
Yeah. Geddon says, how about Dune RTS? It has to be an all-time classic. That'll privateer.
Oh, Dune 2, presumably, we're talking about, which is the original. That predates Command & Conquer,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I found the Westwood. Third one on CD when I was going through crap.
I got Emperor Battle for Dune, which I don't know if that... Yeah, is that the third one? That might be.
I think so, yeah.
A lot of FMV nonsense in there, though.
Yeah, I've got it on CD in the other room.
Yeah, good solid RTS, though.
Yep. Notarist says Homeworld.
Oh, God.
Or go play Oolite, the open source version of Elite. Even coloured the polygons this time. Now, have you know, I was playing with coloured polygons back in the day because I had Elite Plus on the PC at some stage.
Ooh. Oh, God, I've still got my Homeworld walkthrough printout, gathering dust at home. It's about 50 pages long, and every time I get through to about Mission 8 or something, I can never quite get any further.
That's the problem I always have with
it.
Got
a walkthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hardcore.
Afraid of the Light says old faves include Deus Ex, Cadaver. Haven't thought about that
Cadaver,
for years.
Wow.
Speedball 2.
Speedball 2, yeah.
Lemmings, any. Also, Police Quest 2 from 1988.
I think you're talking more emulation there.
God, I think that we were in a very similar space back in the day for games wise.
Yeah, glory days.
Wolven Spectre says Alpha Centauri. Old,
yes.
But strange and compelling. Yes, brilliant.
I bought that twice at least, and still have it installed.
Yeah, and Halo 1 on race servers, if I can behave. I can behave.
Can everyone else.
And he also gave a puzzle, which is not going to work on radio.
Right.
Jason Etheridge. The original Deus Ex, not its failed sequel, is worth replaying, especially with Deus Ex 3 on its way.
Deus Ex 2 was all right.
I didn't like
that
Deus
on the Xbox One. And it's...
Yeah, I played on the Xbox. It's my copy you played.
it was all right, but it wasn't anywhere near as good as the first one. Yeah. There's a third one coming, yeah.
Zona 21 is saying Dwarf Fortress. I'm going to have to look at this.
Mm. Yeah, gather up these names.
And finally, Saint Mistaken, A Company of Heroes, available in value packs on Steam. Streamline WW2 RTS Perfection. Now, if I remember rightly, that was the one that was just like Dawn of War, but... World War II.
Oh, right.
And took the engine on a bit, and everyone loved it, and I never got into playing.
Oh.
But people who don't like RTSs have told
me it's
worth playing.
World War II version of Dawn of War would be very good.
And that would be all of the questions.
So has that helped at all, do you think?
Or yeah, actually.
Are you just going to sort of doldrum it out?
What I really wanted was just people to remind me of all the great games that have come by.
I think retro is the future. I think the past is where it's going next, or something. Actually, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah, but yeah, just have a rummage through your go in the old Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
Look at stuff that's 2-3 years old. The classics of the genre. Good old games, I think. There's a good old list in there, literally.
I think
GOG, Steam as well are doing a lot of very old stuff nowadays.
Shadow of the Colossus, games like that. I'm going to play. I reckon.
Yeah.
Those classic PS2 games, which I didn't really pay much attention to when they came out, because I was a PC gamer at the time.
I'm going to start digging around the 2005 vintage on my own PC game collection. I think as well. Perhaps have to do a few shows based on retro stuff.
I think we should. Yes.
A couple of mystery games from the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, what did you learn this week?
I learned that I get way more done when I'm not playing games.
And I learned that my dad is a rain god. I spent the whole day in his company, travelling all around the south of the country, and the rain followed him with a persecutory violence.
Wow.
I know. And we were going to other places where it obviously not rained for, like, days. And as soon as we arrived, so did the rain. It was most remarkable. Speaking. I probably won't be spending any more holiday time with him anytime soon. So, with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.